This is Betty Trunell speaking for the Decatur Public Library, and our guest today is Mrs. O.L. Myers. Mrs. Myers, what was your maiden name?
Opal, O-F-E-L, Etchison, E-T-C-H-I-S-O-N.
Well, that's a rather different name.
It's a different one. I was named for the daughter of a Presbyterian minister.
Well, I thought perhaps some people might know you by your maiden name,
yes,
as well as by your married name.
I'm sure they would.
You're a native of Decatur?
I'm a native of Decatur. I was born in 1119 East Herkimer.
Well.
And if that doesn't sound familiar to you, it's now East Grand. At that time, the west end was called Pew Street, and the east end was called Herkimer.
And they changed the streets.
Yes, it changed to one name.
Uh-huh. Right. Where'd you go to school?
Well, I went to school at the Pew Street School. Started out as a Pew Street School because it was on Pew Street, but after they changed to Grand Avenue, they just dropped the street, and it was just merely Pew School. Then
Is that still standing
that
today?
That is no longer mm-hmm. standing. That was on the corner of Grand and Monroe. And when I was in the fifth grade, I transferred to Oakland School on the corner of Oakland and Decatur, and it's no longer standing. The Hartford House is there now.
Uh-huh.
And then from there, I went to Old Central Junior High for my eighth grade, and then to Stephen Decatur High School, but it was only Decatur High School then. And my first semester at Decatur High School, I went, they had two different sessions a day, and I went from 12:30 to 5.
Was that because the school was so full?
That's because
full,
the school was so crowded.
Such big enrollment.
That's the only way they could take care of as many students as they had. And I was in the last class to spend the full term, four years after that, but they went to the junior highs for the freshman year, rather.
Yeah. Now, the Stephen Decatur High School, for people who might have moved here very, very recently, is where the Civic Center is now, right?
Right, that's right. All mm-hmm. all the schools I went to are torn down. There's none remaining.
You've outlived all the schools. Well, let's go back a little bit to some of your memories as a child. You were telling me some of these experiences you had when you were growing up. From the first one, I think, involved your father, right?
Yes. I think I remember it, but of course, you know, I don't because I was just an infant. But the Polish people had a picnic every year, and they had a shooting match of some sort right along with it. We lived about the third house off the corner on Leafland, and my father came out the back way to go to the grocery store, and the young man on the corner at the back was practicing for this shoot, and he shot at the target, missed, and hit my father in the neck. At that time, it was right on the jugular vein, mm-hmm. and they were afraid that they would couldn't get it out, so he did. That bullet remained in his neck until he passed away at the age of 71. And it didn't seem to bother him, though.
Well, what a terrible experience, both for your father, and of course it was such a dangerous thing for the young man to have been doing.
Yes, and I just wonder just what it did to the young man. I'm sure that it shook him up.
Of course.
Quite a lot.
And but wasn't it fortunate that it wasn't a really fatal?
Yes, it wasn't a fatal accident. Because if it had been just a tiny bit more, it would have severed the jugular vein. And
well,
at that time, they didn't have what they have now that they could have repaired it and saved his life.
Was your father planning to go to the picnic?
No, I don't think so.
But he just became an unwilling participant.
That's right. He was on his way to the grocery store.
Well.
You know, back then he had to go to the grocery store almost every day. We didn't have ice boxes or anything for keeping milk and things from spoiling. And so usually you went about every day to get your milk and things.
And these were mostly neighborhood grocery
yes.
stores.
Uh-huh.
Well, I believe you did tell me, though, of a special store that came in later.
Yes, the Great Eastern Tea and Coffee Company came in on North Water Street, I believe, in about the 300 block, and up to that time, our stores were, they weren't so very big, and they were, well, they were lighted well enough for that time, but nothing like the lighting with the neon lights today. And I remember when this store came in, looking back, it seems to me like it was just about as light as the neon lighted stores are today. And it was so roomy, the aisles were so wide. And the best part about it was they would, you'd order your peanut butter and they made your peanut butter for you right there in front of your eyes. It had no additives, nothing but just peanuts, nothing else.
It must have smelled pretty good, too.
It really was mouth-watering just to smell it.
Let's go back to some of the other experiences that you remember as a child.
Well, I can remember the corn carnivals that they had. They used to hold them on the corner of North and North Main Street, the east corner, and I can remember at that time, this one particular time, they were getting ready to pave North Main with the wooden blocks, and they had them piled up in front of the review building, and I sat on the on those blocks and watched the trapeze artists, and I was scared to death. I really didn't watch the trapeze artists because I was too scared. I would shut my eyes. But
well, what was a corn carnival? Why corn?
I don't know. I've often wondered since why they called it a corn carnival, but they did. I don't know what they...
Maybe.
It was about the time that you were, if I remember right, it was in fall, about the time that the corn was beginning to, well, I think...
Ripen.
Yes, And other than that, I really don't know. I've often wondered about that. Just why they did call it that.
I believe you mentioned the circuses too.
Yes.
Since we're talking about carnivals.
Yes, right where I live now is where the circus used to be.
And we haven't mentioned where you do live.
Yes.
Here.
Yes, I live on Pearson Avenue in the 200 block, and at that time the streetcars brought you out to the railroad tracks on North Broadway, and that is just about a block south of Garfield on Broadway, and then you had to get off and walk the rest of the way. And I believe that the ground started maybe about where South Drive is, and
that's in the area known as the Elms.
In the area known as the Elms, and they had summer streetcars, open streetcars, and they used those for special occasions. And
I imagine some people might not know what you mean by summer streetcars.
Yes, first of all, the seats were sort of open. What do you call that?
Wicker work?
Wicker, sort of
wicker
like that,
seat.
And so that air could get through. And then they were just the seats was from one side to the other. There was no doors or anything.
Center aisle.
No center aisle. And those that got in on the center, they had to stay there till the car was emptied. I think that's the reason they didn't use them only for special things. And
but they were open at the sides,
open
from
at both
top
sides,
to bottom.
From top to bottom, And
so there was a chance for a lot of air
yes,
to get through.
Yes, and rain too if it was
yes.
raining, but
uh-huh.
then as I said, they only used them for special occasions. So another time when they used them was they used to have what they call the poor man's picnic at Fairview Park, and they'd pick up the children all over Decatur, and we'd go and we'd get out there, and they'd give us all so many tickets, and then you spent your tickets for whatever you want to. I believe they gave us 10 apiece, I'm not sure. An ice cream cone was one.
Did someone sponsor this
Yes,
picnic?
And that I don't know who it was, and I wish I did. You look back at things and you wonder why you didn't take time at the time to...
But you enjoyed these events.
Enjoyed them very much, yes.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Now, when these circuses came, were they just traveling circuses?
Yes, they were. And I think one of the highlights was always the parade, which we don't have anymore. We always look forward to that parade. Mm-hmm. And
you could go to the parade even if you weren't able to afford to go to the show itself.
You could go to the parade, yes. Fact of the matter, that was something the circus itself, we didn't get to go to very often because we were poor. We just didn't have the money.
Mm-hmm.
And but the parade was always free and always a lot of fun, and the clowns always did a lot of antics along the way to entertain the youngsters.
And the animals?
And the animals, they always had them. Of course, the lions, things like that, were always in cages, but the elephants were always walking along and usually had their trainers, or rather, I don't know, not trainers, but they usually have women all dressed up riding on them.
The riders, at any rate.
Yes, uh-huh.
Well, what are some other memories you have of your childhood?
Well, let's see. We moved from we lived on Hewick Avenue, and we moved from there to a cottage, the caretaker's cottage, behind the what's presently the Art Institute, the James Milliken Homestead, I believe it's called now. And we moved to the caretaker's cottage where we got the rent for my father's just supposed to keep the furnace going. At that
that's
time,
now the carriage house. Well, it's a carriage house behind.
No, the house is torn down.
Oh, the house
the
where
house
you live
is torn down. It was just to the north of the carriage house. Mm. And at that time, when the city was quarantined for flu in 1918. And we had to get a special permit to move.
Mm-hmm.
And they had begun, they had already started and had some wonderful paintings in the downstairs rooms of the Milliken Homestead. But they started in to making Red Cross headquarters out of it. And when I first went into the homestead, all of the books were in the library, but they weren't there very long, and they took them and dumped them up on the third floor in the attic there. And I've often wondered if the books they have in the library now are the same ones that were originally there, because they could have been. I doubt it, though. And
was your father serving as caretaker, or they just wanted to have the house occupied?
They just wanted to have the furnace going.
Uh-huh.
And shortly after we got in there, though, as I said, it was quarantined when we moved in, the city was. Why, they turned it in, the flu got so bad, they turned it into a Red Cross hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother was the first one to come down with the flu, and he was almost died. And then my youngest brother and I, we got it, and we really weren't sick enough to stay in bed, but they made us stay in 3 days. Then my mother took it, and my mother got so bad that she almost died, and they had to take her over to the hospital.
Mm.
And my father got down with it, so on Christmas Day, my father was down, but my two brothers and I, we were up, and I'll never forget it, because they tried to get help for us, and they couldn't. So on Christmas Day, my father had me he told me what to get. We had some stew meat, and he told me how to, I was only 11 years old, so I really wasn't that well trained. He told me how to make a big pot of stew, so that was our Christmas dinner that day. And my mother was there quite a good bit, and we could, she was in the back room, and we could go outside and we could wave at her. And she got better, and she could partly sit up. We would wait better.
When you said the city was quarantined, what did you mean? Do you mean that people couldn't come and go? Or?
No children were allowed on the streets.
Oh.
For any reason, whatever. And there was no schools, no public gatherings.
How long did this quarantine last? This was 1918.
1918. I don't remember. I would say maybe a couple of months, but I might be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It probably wasn't that long, because they broke it when peace was signed, the 11th of November, they broke it. We moved in October.
Mm-hmm.
So it might have been, maybe it was 2 months, and maybe it wasn't, I don't know.
But the quarantine mainly affected the children.
Mostly the children and any kind of public gatherings.
Oh, you didn't, of course, no school?
No schools, no public gatherings of any kind. I suppose that meant shows, I don't know, but I know that that was it.
Of course, today we have so many antibiotics and medicine that could deal with epidemics of that kind. We forget how dreadful the flu epidemic of that period was.
Yes, we do. It was quite frightening because they didn't have the knowledge that they have now. And I know we were very worried about my mother. And
but she did recover.
She did recover. There's a lot of people, though, that...
That didn't make it.
And...
Do you have any other memories of that time?
I think when I went to Pew School the first grade always wound the maypole in May, and the photographer was coming out the morning of when we wound it, and they were going to take our pictures, and so the teacher told us to wear our white dresses. So I went home and I told my mother I was supposed to wear my white dress, and do you know how it is with some... Oh, you've seen these quotes where everybody's doing it meant one or two or something like that. So mother thought that I was just wanting to wear a white dress and that was my alibi. Mm-hmm. So she wouldn't let me wear a white dress, so consequently
You were the one who didn't have it.
Well, there were three of us, thank goodness. I wasn't alone.
And your mother probably felt bad afterwards that she realized you really meant to.
She really did.
Was this a May Day festival where they wound the maypole?
Yes.
And you had it every year?
Every year.
Did just your school have it, or did several schools?
As far as I know, just our school, but others could have had it. Mm-hmm. I don't remember, but I do remember that ours did. Another thing I can remember, a cyclone, I think it was 1912, hit Decatur, and our house was damaged. Not a great lot, but we had a long porch with one end of it had three sides, was partially covered, and my mother used to put a sort of a curtain of rag carpeting there, and of course we had nothing modern about our house, and we'd take our baths out there behind that curtain in the old number three tub.
Only during the summer, I imagine.
During the summer. Mm-hmm. And porch was completely damaged, and they never rebuilt it that way. They just put a small one on. And we did move out for a while they repaired the house. Mm-hmm. I think 3 months we were gone, and then we moved back into it again. We rented, but...
Were there other houses damaged in that area?
You know, I don't remember too much about that. Isn't it funny? I guess because it did happen to our house that I remember. As looking back, I just can't remember that there was much of anything damaged, but I do remember that.
Well, you weren't very old then.
No, I was five. Uh-huh. I was 5 years old, and maybe I wasn't quite five. I don't remember.
You don't remember the storm itself?
No, I don't. I do remember when I was small, any kind of storm used to scare me because we had neighbors, a woman and her daughter, and the daughter was slightly retarded. And whenever it looked like it's going to rain or storm any kind, well, they hiked out to someone's house. And it seemed to me like there was an awful lot of storms in those days, because it seemed like that couple was always at someone's house. They were afraid.
For the child?
Yes. Uh-huh.
How the child might feel.
The child was so scared. Mm-hmm. And the mother would take her where she'd feel better.
Well, have we come to the end of your list, or do you have some other...
I think that's...
As you were growing up. Well, now, before you were married, did you have a job or work?
The summer I was 16, a friend of mine got me a job with the Leader Ironworks in the advertising department, and I worked 3 months, and then I told them I thought that they understood that I was just there for the summer months, but evidently he told them I was going to be permanent.
Mm-hmm.
And so they wanted me to stay and not go back to school, and I said, no, I wanted my diploma. So I went back to school. They didn't seem to like it too well, and I sure hated it, but then I had supposed that he had told them.
Mm-hmm.
He was a foreman there,
mm-hmm.
and one of my mother's and father's very good friends. So I went back to school, and I graduated when I was just 17, and then I went back to the leader.
They did like your work enough to
yes.
take you back.
And I worked, that was 1924. I graduated from high school, and I went back to work, and then March 1926, I was married,
mm-hmm.
and I worked then until August of 1929, and I quit work, and I guess I was gone about 5 weeks, and they called me up, and I was bookkeeper by that time.
Mm-hmm.
And they said the books were all out of balance, and wanted to know if I could come, and they couldn't, the auditors were there, and they couldn't seem to get a trial balance, and they wondered if I could come and find the try to find the mistake. So I went in, and I worked, and I found, oh, it didn't take me long to find the mistake, because I knew.
You suspected what it might be.
Yes, and they didn't say anything, and I worked, and they wasn't getting anyone to take my place, and finally I said, well, I stopped time from to get someone, and they begged me to stay, but I said no. I didn't want to. I had quit, and I believed I ought to keep on retiring. So,
did you have a family?
9 months later, I did. Yes,
so you wanted to spend that time with your family.
I wanted to spend time with, yes. My son was born the 16th of July. He's 51 years old today.
Wow.
And mustn't forget to call him.
Right. Where is he now?
Evansville, Indiana.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And so that was it. I never worked anymore, but I...
What was your husband's business?
Oh, he was carman for the Wabash,
mm-hmm.
and then he was the director for the Wabash Credit Union.
Oh.
And in 1961, they offered him the job of he had been credit manager for quite a few years, but on his own, he didn't get any pay for it. He just went after work or before
mm-hmm.
work, because he was working the 3 to 11, and he'd go there in the morning and work.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they offered him full time, so he took a leave of absence and from the Wabash, and it later became NW. But
mm-hmm.
at that time, it was all about. She took a leave of absence. And
the credit union was not connected with the railroad.
No. It's rather odd. It wasn't connected in a way it was connected.
Was it mostly railroad workers?
It was all railroad workers. All railroad workers.
But it was independent of the management.
Yes, right. And but he took the job. People at the Wabash asked him to take the job because they were having so many garnishments.
Mm.
And they said that after he had taken over as credit manager, that they were becoming less, and they felt if he took a full-time job that
they wouldn't have as much trouble.
They never had
it.
Any at all after he took over.
Well, you and your husband must have been experts at straightening out finances.
Yes, the bad thing about it was that he didn't realize that I guess he would turn over in his grave if he knew that because he did that I don't get the $2,000 nor the pension.
Oh,
see?
That is too bad.
And, well, I'm okay. I don't. I still get Social Security,
yeah.
So I have no complaints.
Well,
but if I would have a little more, fine.
Right. Well, that is too bad.
But I just thought he was so proud because he had me all
straightened. He thought you were going to get
yes,
it.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's too
and
bad.
But it's okay. We just have to go along and have to have rules, and no one had told him about
that.
Well,
there are so many problems that occur after a person is retired that you might not anticipate.
Somehow or other they don't they fail
right.
to tell you, or
uh-huh.
I don't know, something about it.
Uh-huh. Do you have any other changes that you have noticed in Decatur during your lifetime here?
It seems to me the biggest change is speed. It just seems like everything is so fast, and in some ways, for a while it seemed like I was afraid to go out on the highway to drive.
Mm-hmm.
Not at the highway. The highway didn't bother me, but the streets bothered
mm-hmm.
me. But since my husband took sick, I had to go back to driving again, and it doesn't bother me at all anymore, so I don't know if I've just because...
You're adjusting to it.
I'm adjusting
mm-hmm.
to it, and I think that, of course, the people have got the... I know as we were growing up, we were very poor, and we had very little. We didn't complain, and now people, how much they've got, and... They don't think they've got anything.
Mm-hmm. It's relative.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But I know I cherish all of the things we did. There were things that we did when we were growing up. Every Friday night we cracked walnuts.
Mm-hmm. Together as a family.
As a family. And every Sunday night we had popcorn.
Uh-huh.
That was
so you had treats in the family.
Yes. Uh-huh. And we always... My mother always, we had a Bible book. I wish I could find it. I've tried for years to find a book like it, and I can't. She had a Bible book, Stories for Children,
mm-hmm.
and she'd read us the stories from there and from the Bible. Then she would ask us questions about it, and I remember all of those. It seemed like it was, we were together,
mm-hmm.
and it seemed like it was the right way to do. I don't know.
You think that if families were closer in that way now?
I think they were closer. There are still families that are closer together, but the majority of them aren't. They
mm-hmm.
don't do the...
Too many outside distractions.
Too many things. You know, there's golfing and there's tennis and there's ball games, and if they're not out playing them, they're watching them on
mm-hmm.
TV. And
mm-hmm.
really, I think now what bothers me is is the TV. Shows the one with all the fighting and,
mm-hmm.
and things like that in them. Of course, I'm square.
Do you have grandchildren?
I have 5 grandchildren.
Uh-huh.
One of them is married last October, and she lives in Memphis. And I have a granddaughter that will be a senior. Oh, she's already senior, and she's taking summer school at Indiana U, and her brother is a junior
mm-hmm.
at Indiana U, and they are there right
mm-hmm.
now. They both had work, and instead of going back home to Evansville for the summer, they decided to hold their jobs
mm-hmm.
and stay in, and they're each one taking a summer.
But none of your grandchildren live here in Decatur.
No, I'm the only one here.
Mm-hmm.
I have a sister here in Decatur.
Very good.
And,
so you can get together and remember old
yes,
times.
Yes, uh-huh. Of course she's a lot younger than I am, so she don't remember like I do. I had 3 brothers, they're gone. So there's just me and my sister.
Well, we certainly thank you for sharing your experiences with us, Mrs. Meyer. It's really been a very interesting kind of light on some of the past experiences and history of Decatur, and we thank you very much.
Well, I hope it's helped a little bit. You know, I didn't realize that there was so much that I could remember
right.
until I sat down and...
Well, we're so glad that we have a record of it now,
uh-huh.
and thank you very much.
You're sure welcome.
You've been listening to the experiences of Mrs. O.L. Myers, and this is Betty Turnell for the Decatur Public Library.